This is ISIS Radio.
Welcome to ISIS Radio, supported by Air Products, delivering cost-effective materials to the global electronics industry. Visit us at airproducts.com/connect.
Hi there. Welcome to ISIS Radio's Chemical News Central for the week starting Monday, the 12th of May, 2008. I'm Simon Robinson.
And I'm Nigel Davis. You can find us in all the usual places at www.isis.com.
You can find us on Podomatic.
And on iTunes.
And on iTunes.
The latter two sites, you can download the RSS feed.
We'd strongly recommend that you do just that.
So, Simon, what have we got this week?
We've got a court decision in the US that says BP violated rights along with the American government. We've got a final slew of numbers from this quarter, I think, and lots on ethanol, mostly in the States. So, Nigel, what's this about BP and the courts?
Well, the US Appeals Court has ruled that a plea agreement signed by BP and the US Justice Department violated the rights of the victims of the Texas City refinery explosion.
Mm-hmm.
That was signed in October 2007. Court announced it the next day, apparently. BP agreed to pay $50 million in connection to the explosion,
yep,
which killed 15 workers and injured 170 others. Remember, this has been a sort of landmark accident for BP.
That's right.
Certainly is seen as, obviously, as a major accident. But
the appeals court decision, though, could open up the room for a lot more litigation, I should think.
I would have thought so. BP and the US reached the agreement without first notifying the victims and according to court documents. So it does open the way for further litigation from the relatives of the victims of that refinery explosion.
Yeah.
So it's not going to go away.
It's not going to go away, and it's going to last for a long time. Just looking at some of the numbers now, see Radio's seeing a 29% fall in first quarter of net profit. Akzo Nobel's profit dropped 4% in the first quarter. Sorry, net income dropped 4% in the first quarter. Do we see that as being a trend across people this week, Nigel?
No, I think if you look behind the numbers, I mean, the net profits we're showing here, Akzo Nobel was hit largely by unfavourable foreign exchange rates.
Mm-hmm.
Operating profits were up marginally. In fact, €257 million from €254 million.
And there's some of the
and on flat sales, so you know it's struggling, but it's hanging on in there.
Sure, and there's and some Rhodia, of the same, isn't there, with Rhodia?
Yeah, Rhodia's operating profits only fell by 6%, but their sales are up by 4%. I think the big thing for the specialty chemicals makers is, and I wouldn't perhaps include Akzo Nobel there, but for the specialty chemical makers like Rhodia, Clariant, Ciba in Europe, and some others in the States, is, you know, are they losing or have they lost pricing power?
Sure.
They may be able to make some volume gains, but they're not hanging on to prices in perhaps the way they were. No. Although, funnily enough, Rhodia did say that it remained confident in the pricing power of the businesses. The company said it benefited from strong leadership positions in dynamic markets.
Sure.
You know, it is in some dynamic markets. It has got some strong positions, I think, in the nylon chain particularly.
Things like rare earths still?
Rare earths still, yes. Mm-hmm. But a number of its product lines are under pressure, clearly.
Sure. Sure.
And it's the same with the other two. Ciba Specialty Chemical particularly was badly hit in the first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And Georgia Gulf here, not surprisingly really, but I mean it posted a $45 million operating loss for the quarter.
Right.
That was compared to a loss of $8 million for the same period of last year.
Mm-hmm.
Sales were down at $712 million.
Sure.
And of course rising feedstock costs on the one hand, and then you've got the housing slump.
That's right.
Which is, of course, a hugely important market for PVC.
That's right, that's right.
Company is going to have to sell more non-core assets to pay down debt.
Ooh.
Some interesting stories this week on
Absolutely.
The debt front as well.
Yeah, yeah, really?
One company called Kazanorg Sintez, which is one of Russia's largest polyolefins producers. It's expanding in polyolefins, it's expanding, getting into polycarbonate and intermediates for polycarbonate. Some of those expansions aren't coming on stream as planned. They've been delayed. The polycarbonate ones have been delayed for a year. Standard & Poor's in the week when I actually put the company or a portion of the company's debt on credit watch.
Right.
And the company, Kazanorg Sintez, was asking to raise the bar, as it were, on the loan multiple, which was 4x EBITDA.
So there was 5 or 6.
When it said he wanted 6. And Ciba is doing a big deal. Ciba is another big Russian petrochemicals player, as everyone knows. Ciba that's doing a deal with Kazanorg Sintez is now getting very jittery about doing the deal.
Sure.
So, you know, credit crunch, lower cash flows.
It all
really
plays
all
through,
starting to, it's starting to play through even now. So what it's going to be like in a few months' time, you know, we really don't know. In the US, again, about biofuels and whether ethanol bioethanol is a good idea or a bad idea. I think we were reporting quite a few people last week as saying that bioethanol in the US had nothing to do with rising food prices globally.
Absolutely.
Now we've got a company, Amrex, which is a Texas-based broker, yep. Members of the derivatives brokerage GFI group, saying that ethanol has no future and is a terrible idea.
Well, certainly is for corn. And we've got the NPRA urging a repeal of the ethanol mandate, according to ISIS Chemical Businesses Week. Charles Drevno, who's president of the NPRA, told a House Representatives Subcommittee that it will impose significant costs on consumers and the nation. So there's a bit of a backlash going there.
Yes, I mean, particularly when you get a body as influential as the NPRA saying that, hang on, folks, isn't it best to... good time to step back from this.
And also, we have a chap here, Heart Energy Consulting, Frederick Potter, saying that oil and biofuels will become more integrated. I mean, do we really want the price of bread to be driven by the price of crude? Don't know. In 2007, the US blended ethanol in 47% of its gasoline. This figure could jump to 70% in 2008, he said.
Yeah, well, the problem is, you see, as we've got another story here saying that cellulosic ethanol production will become a reality, but large-scale production won't be available for at least another 20 years.
Well, not if you use clever science. If you pyrolyse stuff, there's a danger that it could be a bit sooner.
Yes.
But, you know...
Really, of course.
That's the thing. So I think people have focused too much on the clever chemistry and not enough on the really sensible, simple stuff that we've already got. So we'll have to see there. And what's this about Dialem winning an $888 million for a Saudi petrochemical plant?
To build part of the Al Jubail-based Saudi Kayan Petrochemicals Company facility. Mm-hmm. And that's planned to be completed in 2010. Mm-hmm. You've got there a total of 6 million tonnes a year of petrochemicals, including ethylene, propylene, MEG, that's monoethylene glycol, and polypropylene.
So all the usual suspects.
Yeah, I mean, so that's a big project. And
absolutely.
There was further news this past week as well on the Abu Dhabi's plans for petrochemicals.
Uh-huh. What's happening there?
Kemawiyat, it's called. Could be a $20 billion facility. Mm-hmm. Based on light naphtha.
Where's that going to come from?
Ruwais, from big new refinery being built there by the state oil company ADNOC. ADNOC's building the world's largest grassroots condensates refinery. Mm-hmm. Well, that's going to include a million tonne a year propylene coming out of an FCC unit there. So there's a lot of propylene. So
sure.
Borouge, which is the Borealis joint venture, is talking about Borouge 3.
Yeah.
Well, Borouge 2 is under construction, Borouge 3, which is not quite clear what Borouge 3 is going to be, but certainly there's going to be a lot of propylene available.
Absolutely.
But then there is talk now and there are big development plans for an area between Abu Dhabi City and Dubai, building a big port.
Oh, right. Good
aluminium production, ammonia production, obviously petrochemicals production as well, but also a lot of downstream facilities to
If you can get downstream, start processing, start compounding, that kind of thing, that's where you really start adding value.
But for that project, I mean, we're talking about a big project here. Although the first part of the scheme, Kemawiyat 1, I believe is due on stream in 2013.
Sure.
Or planned to be on stream in 2013. You've got to bring the light naphtha sort of 300 kilometres from Ruwais.
Sure.
Which may not be
the most easy thing.
Well, it'll be the easiest thing to do in the world, but I mean,
build a nice big pipeline, get some nice big pumps.
These can be done. Things can be done. So a very significant development in Abu Dhabi, but that's to add to it other massive projects that are due on stream in the Middle East over the next few years.
Sure. Thanks.
You have been listening to ISIS Radio, sponsored by Air Products, supporting a new way of thinking and learning about our industry. Visit us at airproducts.com/connect.
The contents of this recording are copyright, read business information, and all rights are reserved. We hope you enjoyed listening, and please listen again. Contact me by email at simon.robinson@isis.com.
This is ISIS Radio.